That bothers me. I don't think an insurance company can get your medical records?
Sure they can.
I don't believe so.
Absolutely. If you have to purchase life insurance, that's...
No, they'll give you a physical. They'll be required for you to go get a physical. I don't think they can look at your health insurance records, especially with that.
Well, what if the mistake is made in your physical? So they take notes during your physical. So there's...
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying I don't think that's a reason.
So you go get a physical, and the nurse takes down, you know, standard procedure. You go to your doctor. Nurse comes in, does your blood pressure. What if she writes down? What if her handwriting's sloppy, and he reads your blood pressure reading wrong, and then it goes into your health care?
That's different, though.
Of course,
I'm saying that's got to be factual. I don't believe that insurance companies can just pull your health insurance records. That's why they have the HIPAA laws.
But I don't state that. I'm just stating it can happen.
I would strike that.
Well,
what exists that section? The aforementioned, to obtain health insurance.
Yeah, but that's true. What I just said is true, though. So if you're saying you get a physical, okay, and if they write incorrect information about your physical, then that can have an adverse effect
but
on your...
But you get a copy. You're entitled to a copy of that.
What if you miss it? What if you don't look at the copy? What if you don't request one?
Well, you're going to know then you'll get
My point is, so let's say you go to get life insurance. So the nurse makes an error. The doctor puts it in your records. Okay, so then that's going to the life insurance company. Okay, I don't see where you're not grasping what's going on here. So then that mistake is in there. So there has to be a process for you to be able to have that removed.
No, but that's not preventing you from obtaining health and life insurance before you get the physical. If you get the physical and either
the... I'm saying that at a more reasonable price, they could put you into a different pool and charge you more money. They could say, oh, this person has hypertension, when you don't. I'm saying, what if your blood pressure was 138 over 70 and the doctor thought the 3 was an 8 and it goes in your record as 188 over 70?
I mean, I realize that.
Okay. Well, you don't mind. Ms. Allen, if you are denied health insurance or your premium goes up, you're going to be notified by the insurance carrier, which they'll tell you why you're being denied or your insurance premium goes up. And then if there's an issue, then you can go back to your provider and say that's incorrect, and then they'll correct it that way. So you'll have an idea of what's going on. But do you want to talk about this in general?
Okay.
So at this juncture, I cannot recommend to at least the Republican caucus that they pass your this particular resolution. First and foremost, in your last whereas, you state that the legislature is duly elected government body with sworn duty of drafting and passing legislative laws into effect. Since I was present when Legislator Castillo and Legislator Lopez were sworn into office, that's not what they swore. They swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the New York State Constitution as well as the Ulster County Charter. So this is wholly incorrect statement.
That's fine. I believe that I had seen previous memorializing resolutions where that was in language.
I'll tell you for sure that no.
All right, strike it. How would you replace it?
It's not my job to tell you.
Okay.
Secondly, Section 18 of the Public Health Law strictly deals with access to patient information. So it is solely talking about a subject, which actually is an interesting way to describe a patient. But a subject is an individual concerning whom patient information is maintained or possessed by a healthcare provider. So it's about the subject or any qualified person, which is also defined in the law, to have access to patient information. This has nothing to do with changing a person's record. It's solely with carrying access. So if the whole gist of your resolution is to have the ability to correct mistakes, then your resolution is fatally flawed because this is not the right section of law to address.
So
moreover, wait, let me finish. Also, we don't absolve laws in New York you would asking to repeal and then have a new section put in. But I would suggest to you that if you wanted certain corrections, that you should be specific in your resolve as to what corrections you want, you know, what changes that you want made, because a general statement like that really, it doesn't do anything, and I don't know how else to measure where to put that. So, but at this juncture, I can't ask my members of the caucus, or the Republican caucus, to endorse this in any fashion, because it's just so many problems.
So,
maybe you need, like,
in the where,
did you go to the minority council? I mean, majority council? I think we've gotten a majority.
Chris has been indisposed for the case. So I went to Kathy.
And Kathy thought?
Yeah, that was fine. So basically, I wanted to correct something. So subdivision 8 of New York Health Law Section 18 does address when there's problems with accuracy in patient's records.
But you're talking about more than just what you're talking. You're talking about more than what. Well, what this says, you're asking for them to correct it. This says that you can include, if you're challenging the accuracy of the chart or whatever's provided, you can include a statement, which would become a permanent part, but you're asking for them to correct it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So.
This isn't rocket science. So basically, I mean, everybody treats healthcare like it is, and that's the problem. So.
So what are you specifically asking?
So when there's a mistake
in
your healthcare records, but that the mistake permanently stays in your healthcare records. That's clearly defined in subdivision.
You have an opportunity to clarify.
Yeah, but the mistake still stays in there. So there's an addendum added on after the mistake.
And you're certain that there's no other area of the law in public health law that affords an opportunity for it to be changed?
Nope.
I didn't look that up.
Nope. I did. That's why I mentioned it early on. That's there. So, here's the reason why I prefaced my statement where I was getting into tangential legal issues regarding this. So the NYCRR, which is under the Board of Regents.
No, it's not under the Board of Regents.
Well, that's what they told me in Albany when I called the lawyers. That was the lawyer with the New York State Health Department. I had a conversation with him about this. That's what he said to me verbally on the phone.
Okay.
I'm just reiterating what he sounded like he knew what he was talking about. He knew all these subsections off the top of his head. He is the lawyer that works for the New York State Department of Health. I did have a lengthy conversation with him about this. I did my research on this.
But it's so hard to think of that correlation between health and the Board of...
No. So under the NYCRR, there's all kinds of guidelines in there.
Tell me the
law. Guidelines, like liability. So basically, like liability issues, if you're a healthcare professional, like, and not just doctors or nurses, but also like everything under the sun, like if you're a massage therapist, if you're a chiropractor, if you're a phlebotomist, if you're a veterinarian, so all that stuff is under the NYCRR. So I didn't even address the liability, because there's also language in Section 18 which states that healthcare professionals can't be sued in any form of court, criminal or civil, for refusing to allow somebody to see their medical records for the act alone. That's stated in there. I chose not to address that because that, to me, that's a separate issue. That would be a separate resolution. And then the reason why I didn't address that in this resolution is because it also, the area jumps over into NYCRR. So, Councilor Gehring is understanding what I'm saying. But
no, I don't, because what happens is the Department of Health would pass regulations pursuant to this law to explain it, which I didn't look at.
Right.
So what are you trying to say, that there's further regulations that address this?
No, it addresses just conduct in general. So I didn't want to go down that road with conduct, because then I would have had to go and see what CRR. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, conduct is in a different part of the
liability, right.
But, you know, people make mistakes.
Okay, so I'm not looking to do anything with that. I'm just looking for the sheer act of when you find a mistake in your health care records, the mistake should not permanently remain in your health care records. That's all this does. So
based on what that says.
Well, what says? My resolution?
Yeah.
Well, I think that as I'm reading it, the whereas is, if you could edit some of the whereases and put them in the resolve, because you're actually trying to explain yourself in the whereas,
well, because
but in the resolve.
I find when I'm explaining this to people, they have trouble grasping it, so I'm trying to make it very
but I would like to see the resolve exactly what you want.
The whereas, tells sort of the story, but the meat of the resolution is the resolve. So I'm not going to be bothered reading every little bit of whereas.
Well, but I mean, we are passing laws. We should know if we're passing.
Because all you're asking for them is to repeal the section and then do a completely new section to address your concerns. But your concerns are all in the winter up in here. And I think if you really wanted to amend, all right, section 18 of the public health law, and specifically subsection E, to address the fact that to say that you want it permanent, you want this correct, you want the error to be changed and the error not to be permanent part of the record, then that's what you should say.
You're saying it should be in resolved and not the whereas.
Well, you could say that.
Because you're saying
in the resolve, if that's what you were looking for, instead of saying, let's strike the whole section, that's what you're asking for, if this whole section is to be stricken, at repealed, and then a whole new one to address your concerns, and you don't even give specifics as to you want it addressed. Ideally, if I could, in a general way, counsel you and say, look, you would say resolve, asking the New York State Legislature to amend Section 18 of the Public Health Law, subsection E of Section 18 of the Public Health Law to eradicate mistakes, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to, you know, it's up to you to figure out the language. But that would be the way to go as opposed to the way you've approached it.
And that's easy to do.
Especially if it really just
this also says this subdivision shall apply only to factual statements and shall not include a provider's observations, inferences, or conclusions. So if you're saying that there's a mistake and when they're recording someone's, you know, when they're writing down someone's blood pressure, you want that changed, that would be applicable. But if I was saying, all right, well, it's got shallow skin or whatever, that's not applicable. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying with that, but
that gets to the heart of the matter, because I'm reading this from
and well, you're basically saying there's too many whereases.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you, well, first and foremost, the last whereas is got it out. Then I'm saying to you, what you really are looking for, instead of saying you want to repeal the whole law, this whole section of law, you really want to amend a certain specific section to address a specific issue.
Right.
That's what you need to do.
They can see third.
No, you don't do that. You can't expect the legislature to figure out what you want. No.
They're not going to be able to just repeal one subdivision.
Yes, they can. They want to amend it to so as. That's what we do. We amend our own law. Then you ask, they do it only.
So my resolve should basically amend one subdivision rather than repeal the other.
Yes, because that will address your concern.
Right.
As I voted, maybe you're going to change. Screw this whole law and get rid of it because that's not your...
My resolution doesn't say that at all in here.
Yes, it does.
Well, it doesn't.
It does, and you resolve it.
Yes, it
doesn't. You have the floor?
Absolutely.
It says, resolve the Ultratown Legislature Group recommends that the New York State Senate and Assembly legally absolve, which we don't absolve, they repeal, and replace it with a new law code, and it can't be a code, it can be a law, and not a code. So, you've got a lot going on there, brother, that needs to be fixed.
But it's not
a code. They refer to it as a code.
But it's not
a code. It's not a more
effective code. Then if you are... If you're looking, you throw out the whole resolution, you're referring to a specific section of the law, the statute.
Right.
So that's what you've got to address.
Right.
If you're looking at specific code, then you're going to need to look at, and you're going to have to refer to that too. But you, in this particular...
So basically, my first two whereases are to explain.
I am not going to get into particulars. I've given you my best advice. You have two phenomenal counselors that can help you.
So, well, what I would like to try and change this and amend it. Is there any way we could have a special session, request a special session to vote on it before the
meeting? What's the retrospective hurry to hold it?
Because their session ends in June. I'd like to get this up to the...
You could have this ready to amend it on the floor.
You
could, as long as you... I'm sorry, Erica, because help them a little bit about... I mean, I understand completely. I understand what you want. And I think it's an easy fix.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
it's resolved. So
right. You
can, whatever it is, you fix it. Leave it just the way it is.
I was off mark with some of the legal issues. That's understandable.
You can amend it on the floor.
Well, you're a little late to the dance because unlisted bill introduction has come to an end.
Yeah.
Well,
I can get it in the queue at least.
Yeah, they stopped unlisted bill introduction at this point. And they limited it to them to 10. So they usually limit those parents. They save the 10 usually for their local stuff if something comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Or like something...
Well, it would never go through the Assembly and a Senate in a one term anyway. These are... First you have to have legislators to carry it and write it, what you're looking for.
Right.
Then it goes to a committee.
Right.
And then it has to come out of committee and has to have a certain amount of signatures.
Right.
So you're talking next session.
Oh, no, I didn't, yeah, I'm just saying I'd like to get it into the queue, but...
Because, I mean, by the time this is, we have May 19th, and they're already, like, they're already shut down.
Yeah.
Because they're already shut down right now, unfortunately, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if Mrs. Stelz, what's going on with Mrs. Stelz.
Yeah, but the people that were telling me, too, it's amazing. You know, they're so busy up there. I don't know what
they're trying to get done. Yeah, this is crunch time. I mean, I used to work up there, so I know. I worked in the Assembly, and I worked for the DEC, and I was a lobbyist. I told you I was a body beater, so this is my gig. So...
So
I appreciate your urgency, but I just want to let you know that, unfortunately...
Yeah, nothing's going to... I didn't expect anything to happen. I was just trying to...
Where's your bubble?
I'm just trying to get it into the queue first, so that, yeah, I was thinking realistically, like, you know, next year's session anyway, but that if I can... at least get my meeting set up, have something, you know, in terms of a past memorializing resolution, so that maybe next year will be something that we would generally look at.
Sure. So I ask you this then. Do you want to postpone this? Do you want to work on this? I'll work out how to get it right, and then at that point we can reintroduce it to you. Obviously, as written, there's definitely something that
we
address.
I'll make a motion to postpone till next month, or for me to try and do something with it, amend it on the floor.
Well, we could postpone it to next month. If it's not going to be in time, in Albany, then it's another month. But it's only
okay. Yeah, that's true. I can still have meetings with Stewart and Tango and get it in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. People pass. You'd more have to listen to you too, instead of being in our home office.
Right. All the drama will be over with from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little short of the floor.
Okay.
We need a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Complete
the plan. We will move on. Resolution 222 is authorizing chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into two lease agreements with Access. This is for office space to provide mental health services to people over the age of 50 with various disabilities.
I'm wondering, is this in the mental health building at Holden Hill?
Second floor.
They have one at the Trudy Resnick Center in Allenville.
Yeah,
that's on.
So there we are, the building I read the resolution yesterday and realized I didn't have the lease agreements. I got them today from another clerk of the legislature. Unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to read them yet, so I apologize. Correct. I just got them late and it's been a crazy day for me, so I will be reading
it. It's going to bring about all of the revenue, and everything is included, I think, all the utilities.
Yeah, it's not a big problem. And it's me, but it's the one that's your fault. Okay, so we did a first and a second. Do you want to add contingent on
Signs,
anything with the lease?
I'm okay with that.
If there's an issue, I'll definitely bring it
to you. Okay.
What is the reason for in a lease to state like June 1st, 2015 to May 31st, 2016? And why not June 1st to June 1st?
Because
it's more than a year.
Yeah, it's a day more.
Right.
Yeah.
Why did we enter into contracts that start and end on the same day?
No, they don't.
The contracts.
Well, the ones that you looked at, but none of the ones that I've ever reviewed end on the same day.
Okay.
So and I think this is right,
but the ones I brought to the committee,
I didn't look at those. I never saw those. But all of the contracts that I have seen since I've been counseled here have always started from like June 1 to June 31st,
okay.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carry. On to resolution 23. This is authorizing the chairman of the legislature to enter into an agreement with Family Services for Office Space. And council at
the Tree Resident
Harbor Center in
Alondo.
I'll
second. Okay. You got room for a desk, a chair, and a
plant. Very
small.
got a number of those up in Alondo, too. It's pretty much a closet. It's big enough for one person.
We've done this before.
Yep, and it's $1,080 for the utilities included. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Carry. We will move on to resolution 24, amending the county budget to accept an additional allocation of funds from New York State Office of Children and Family Services to State Harbor Program. This is an additional $2,000, I think.
I know it's Ken's birthday, but he could answer some of these questions. I'll put them out there, but I don't think he's going to answer them. The budget for 2015. And certain things they spell out and certain things they don't. I'll give you an example. Part-time coordinator, 25 hours a week at $30 an hour for 31 weeks. It doesn't say who's providing that. Then it says respite care, 5 youths at 30 days at family house.
What are you looking
for? It was emailed to us.
I downloaded it.
Subcontractor case management,
Want to know how it's broken up, and are we doing some of it? Because I know they've contracted twice with families here. It says one for the respite care, that's the house, 5 youths at 30 days, 172.18 a day, comes out to $25,800, quarter of that money.
Or you just got the question?
Well, I just downloaded it today.
I talked to him earlier, and he was, you know, and he had said it was his birthday, and, you know, his wife was playing with him. I said, oh, it's your birthday. I mean, I didn't see anything I thought that was going to be.
First of all, it's just a budget.
Yeah. This probably comes from this money.
No, I know that, but I mean, who's doing it? Like the person, the case management, who's, it doesn't say, is it mental health? Is it our own health department, our own mental health department? Is it after services for children, you know?
If I had to guess,
this resolution coming out, we're getting more additional money, and they've already had the budget for the money. But who decides on which agencies we use to offer these services?
Well, the county executive. The policy is to accept the money and provide the service. The administration is to do it.
Plus, it'll have to be in accordance with the Safe Harbor Program, so they have to file whatever. Because usually with the Office of Services, they pick a lot of the vendors and such. But you know what? Maybe Nettie?
I think you
could
find out,
Mr. Canales. Just go down the line. So which agency is doing the part-time coordination? Who's doing the marketing and advertising? Technology for us. Who's doing the technology?
Well, I think if they're on a contract with an agency, and that's what's going to... There's
a letter. They said it's in accordance with a letter. Is it attached to it?
Yeah, there's a letter here. So.
Does it explain it, Carl?
We're pleased to have you participate in the Child Rights New York State Harbor Act Initiative 2015 letter. Also, again, it's been awarded allocation of $100,000 for implementing blah, blah, blah. If you have any further questions, please contact my office, Nina Albor, But there is
a whole synopsis,
yes, of what they're doing. Okay. County needs law enforcement, social service agencies, justice system, nonprofit agencies, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you want, I can make a copy of that.
Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. Don't hold me to this. I think he did say something, because I asked some questions about the Gateway contract, and I think he did say that there is going to be a committee.
Safe Harbor?
I think that's what he said.
Yeah, there is. There's a committee's been formed. They've already met. It says, most services be provided, it's that right there.
I don't know where they are.
The people, no, the committee already met.
So you printed all that from the computer?
Yeah.
That's part of the resolution. That's the backup to the resolution.
Right.
And I'm sure you have an email to everybody.
Okay, the critical team is comprised of representatives from Department of Social Services, Coordinated Children's Services, Family and Child Advocacy Center, Law Enforcement, District Attorney's Office, Crime Victims, Probation, County Attorney's Office, and Family of Woodstock.
They're
going to
come up with a program, obviously.
Yeah. I think this one
right here. 12 years.
Should be on your
email. For my dealings with state agencies, you have to submit a plan and get it approved before we give you the money.
That's why.
Even though it's appropriate. So,
right, they have a plan right there.
Yeah, but it doesn't say who's doing it.
No, right. Who's doing what? That's all.
I'm not sure the committee, but if you want to vote contingent on receiving.
Also,
what did I do?
Go to Wayne.
Oh. Yeah. If I'm here early enough.
It all depends on the traffic.
Okay. Well, anything else? No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 228 recommending purchase of an additional vaccine share to provide for the safe evacuation of handicapped individuals from Lake County Building.
I want to make a motion that I'm going to strike the fifth whereas.
Move for the seventh.
All right.
I'll move it.
Second. I'd like to strike the fifth whereas. Doesn't need to be there.
Because we don't care.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
We hear more than
six whereas.
Oh, okay.
It was good.
Six whereas. Excuse me. Got so many whereas.
No, oh,
I was doing.
Yeah, I thought you were going to suggest that you don't care, so I'm going to put it.
Whereas only the Health and Social Service Committee members. One more, Dan. I'm always chief. All right, so
this
two.
This resolution actually came into fruition because I've gotten a conversation with County Executive Mike Hines and Kevin Roberts in the parking lot coming out of, I attended part of the environmental meeting when the RA made a presentation and Legislator Roberts was leaving to go home after his DPW Highways Committee meeting. And Mr. Hines brought up the issue of problems with the sixth floor with our evacuation policy. His words were that there's times when there's over 300 people on the sixth floor. Now the fire capacity occupancy code says 120.
120
in
the chambers. But I've been in there a couple. Right. Okay. So, with that being said, you know, there's times with other office staff, with the county executive office, custodians, that type of thing, where we might have 120 people in the chambers, and there might be some stray people around that are other office employees, as I mentioned. So, County Executive Hines brought up the issue that if there's more than two people that would be in a need of assistance that are what would be classified as handicapped according to the emergency policy, that we only have two evacu chairs and that, you know, the third person would be, you know, not in a good position, essentially. He framed it a different way, but, well, so, I thought, gee.
Get the police sheriff.
Because he brought up, you know, County Executive Hines stated that if, you know, there's a fire, that the emergency policy is that the elevators are turned off. They shut down. So, I thought, gee, that would be something that would be a good idea for a resolution. I did some research on...
And that's what they cost, a piece?
Yeah, there's a range. I had some research done through Elliot Auerbach's office, and I wasn't entirely satisfied with the answer I got from them, so I went and did some research myself, too, and I found the trademark name company. I went to call the actual company that sells them, and it sounds like their sales office is kind of a part-time outfit. And I found healthcare suppliers that sell a model that is for up to 300-pound individuals. So I figured that was listed at $2,595. So I figured that if there's a higher-end model for people that weigh over 300 pounds, that it would probably cost, you know, more than that. So to be safe, you know, the dollar amount figure of financial impact is $5,000 to $7,500. That would cover two of them.
How did they come up with the number two? That was an official number.
Oh, yeah, I have two stairwells.
Right.
Yeah, but with the six floors, if you think so we have six floors, so you could have two at a time because of the space in between when you're talking about all those corridors. I have discussed this with some people before.
Have you actually seen the chart?
No. Well, yeah, on the internet, but, and we have two staff.
How wide there?
What's that? There's certain specifications that.
Isn't that red thing with the triphone? Yes.
They're very narrow.
Now,
they're not wide.
Are you sure that you can go down at the same time?
Yeah.
Not like
With Dara. Well, only because we're on the sixth floor. If you were, say, on the third floor, you wouldn't be able to operate two at a time.
I'd make a motion to temporarily adjourn the meeting so we could look at the chair out in the hallway.
No, I'm sure. All right. We'll be out in a second.
I'd just like to make a observation that a quorum is not gathered here in this meeting, so we can't vote on any resolutions at this point, but we can discuss them still.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
So that these track chairs. Have we ever used them? And was there ever a situation where they were used?
No, but you remember when Golden Hill came? And that's where the wheelchair people.
Yeah.
It holds about 300 in some fashion. And while
that's true.
Probably about like that wide.
That's right.
But even if somebody was heavier, basically,
right.
It would be good enough.
For
but it happens.
As long as you're
right in the middle.
The
brake is on all the time.
So right, it's not pushing it over 7,500 if you want it.
Yeah. Have to release it because they accidentally,
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, state that we now have a quorum again.
Okay.
So we can conduct business and vote on resolutions.
Excuse me? Are you insulting us?
No.
You've given us hell.
Standing for the audio because we don't have video on this. Field trip has ended. We're back.
It's over.
I'm going to be watching you from now on. And it's
Oh, it's just not this.
So,
how many more units were we talking about, Lee?
Two.
We have four.
It would be four, so you could do.
You have two on each floor?
No.
Two on the sixth
floor? No, just on the sixth.
And another floor, I think. But anyway, two on the sixth.
Probably the third where the service court is. That would be my guess.
Right. I was discussing with Nettie that, because I asked if we ever used the existing ones, but she said that during the Golden Hill deliberations, there was a meeting where there was about 8 or 10 wheelchairs up here of the residents from Golden Hill. And if we had a fire, we only have two of the devices. Now, I mean, you can't plan. But there was a, saturation.
In all the years I've been here, I've never known them have to be used. But better to be prepared than not.
What if the chairs are on the sixth floor and the fire's on the fifth?
You got to run upstairs again?
That's why
Or you take the elevator up.
I finally understand why they're all on the sixth floor.
Because that's where all the important people are.
Yeah.
Not
oh, so there aren't any on any of the
no,
floors.
I think no.
There's, we only have two, and they're on the sixth floor.
All right.
Adam, you should know you're the sponsor of this. You should have all the facts, sir. This is very well being on that
issue.
I don't
know. I could take a quick look. I mean,
you can do that after.
We've had two for all these years, so I think adding another two is we should do it, and then take a look when we have time if you want to amend it to increase it. You know, I don't know, you might have more time getting this through the chair of the
evening.
Start going up with some big money, forget about it, you'll get a heart attack.
Well, if they can find it somewhere, he'll be fine, but if you want to take it out of contingency,
it would probably be in the budget of emergency services.
Oh, gosh, you're going to give me a headache. I don't know. Okay, may I?
Slowly.
Okay. Well, there's somewhat of justification in here for why you need two more chairs, because I think Mr. Lopez raising a good issue is like, do we have one for each floor, and if not, why not? And that might be something to look at. Moreover, we don't usually do resolutions recommending to the executive to get these, buy more shares. What you would normally do is do it through appropriation, so you would do it at the end of the year if that's something you really want, or you would change the policy, because you are the policy makers. So you would have to amend the policy to say that you would want to have a chair on every floor, to have four of them. But so right now, the way this is done,
I believe it does say there's one on every floor.
You will be excited to be in the area. Needed attached steel chairs are located in both stairwells on the street. So it's only on the floor. That is that question.
Mm-hmm.
I could have sworn somebody told me. I thought it was my client said that we have one on the floor. It's not complicated.
Well, you know, well, can I answer that? I think it's important. So, can we consider passing it contingent upon the
answer? Answers to our questions as far as. Why it's been, because it's only just read that the chairs are only located on the sixth floor. I think that within itself is an issue, because like when I had raised, you know, what if there's a fire on another floor, I think that it would be overall better if there was a chair on each floor.
Third floor up. Or you would just go one flight down, so you probably...
Yeah, but still.
So it would be second floor up then.
We're not going to be all... We'll
look you down this
way.
That's right.
I think it should be addressed. I mean, that's a deal, because I just...
So then that's four.
Nobody ever...
Do you want to appropriate four new devices? Second, third, fourth, and fifth floor.
But I was wondering if that would be a separate resolution, and then that's a different kind of deal. That would be.
Rather than a recommendation. Why not create a policy that says...
Okay, but then I would refer this to another... Well, we could do it through our committee, but it would be referred to probably another committee.
So the legislature has the determination as to what committee will be the original...
The court. Okay. She felt that it would go to another committee for the specific policy making. I can still draft it, right.
Which committee would it go to?
Law enforcement and public safety?
No, different.
How many multi-floor buildings does the county own that have public access?
That was a question, too. I thought this...
No.
So why would it be in a
dark building?
Might be sheriff's department in this
building, probably.
Well, you're talking about big money now, getting up to big money. So,
right.
That's raises the question. Mm-hmm. So is only the sixth floor more important than all the other buildings?
Well, if you want to talk ADA law, and more specifically, there's a section in that says that a reasonable accommodation has to be made. Yeah, if somebody with a disability doesn't have access outside potentially harmful situation,
right?
It's law in order to make sure that they do.
I realized that when I got into this, but, you know, the conversation that Legislator Roberts and County Executive Mike Heinen and I had specifically addressed, shortcomings with the sixth floor.
But so did Kevin have any input?
Mike was pretty much...
I think you're going to find out.
Yeah.
Because
Mike actually expressed that it was a shortcoming in the building and that maybe the county legislature should move over to the county jail and it would be safer for everybody. That was...
we're not going to the jail.
Well, I know. He said that.
It wouldn't be safer for the inmates.
Well, I think, listen, we've had this discussion before, but I'm going to repeat it again in case I haven't in this committee. But a few years back, when the Democrats first took control of the legislature, and a county executive was elected for the first time, it was a charter change, there were some of us that argued, Dave Donaldson was the chair, and I was the majority leader. And we argued that we didn't want to share the sixth floor with the executive. We should have our own floor. And I still feel that way. I can't believe I can't get legislators all these years, to understand why we shouldn't be in this situation. We're in this room and one way out. I mean, who is going to be to blame at the end? Us. Because we're not doing anything. When I was first elected, Session was not up on the sixth floor. It was on either the fourth or fifth. And I got to go back and try to remember. I don't remember. It was the fourth or fifth. But we had plenty of room. We had the whole three quarters of the floor was the legislature's session, reasonable offices for whether you're a majority or a minority. This is crazy what we settled for. And you know what? You get what you deserve because you don't, also we're also worried about what we spend. They're not, they get what they need and rightfully so, and we should too. I mean, I've made this, even with the safety, we had a meeting with the safety committee meeting. I brought up the same thing. Why are you looking at security on the sixth floor? We don't belong here. We should have our own floor. You don't need the whole floor, but that's three quarters.
We could raise that. The seventh floor.
You move all the attorneys up here, all the contracts department, a couple other departments, whoever it is, it all works. They should all be together.
Okay.
And we should have our... Now you're talking about safety.
We should
have like the legislative hill. Like the Capitol Hill?
What
does everybody want to do?
We're part-time. We're not full-time.
We could pass this now and then come up with a policy later.
Why would it has to be changed and you want to come up with
this?
I would suggest that. It's totally up to you being the sponsor of this resolution is that. Let's do it right.
Okay.
Instead of passing it, then it's kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Let's do a little more research. Find out.
Let's write a policy and
let's get some figure out which, and ascertain which floors need how many more of these devices.
Let's get the background so we know what magnitude we're doing.
Okay.
We might need 60 of these chairs.
Right. You're saying it's a county jail building also.
Right. A county public building.
Right.
I shouldn't just limit it to a public building. The employees have the rights to a safe egress and a fire also.
Sure.
But before we make the policy, let's...
All right. I'll withdraw this and then come up with something better. Something more comprehensive. I thought that as I was drafting this, and it's something that I'll do quickly because this is it's a definite problem that we should address this sooner rather than later, obviously.
Yeah, I've been working on this before, but I can do this.
Okay. So it was all right.
Sponsored by both parties.
Sure.
So all they're looking for is for us, the legislative body, to do a memorializing resolution.
State staffing. I was thinking state talk. Remember when over at FOC when we had done.
State staffing.
Okay.
The nurse. So would you?
I don't think we did.
We were asking the chair of the committee. I could have certainly written something up, but I haven't written up, but as a committee, if we all support it, if you have Eric to write it up, or whoever, this is a big, big problem.
Sure.
And they're finally, at least taking a look at it. Whatever they do is going to be an improvement,
mm-hmm.
if they do something.
Mr. Allen, what's going to you?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, yes, let's go.
All right, will you take care of it? Yeah, Erica, take care of it.
State staffing.
Do you have a bill sponsored by both Republicans and Democrats? Mm-hmm. In the hospitals and nursing homes,
change the ratio.
So I thought it'd be good if we do it as a committee. And I'll just offer to you, I did have a conversation with Kim Crennel today, and I asked a question because it was addressed to me. And I haven't really gone through the contract Erica might have, but due to be a gateway for the and somebody says to me, well, who's delivering that? So I said to Ken today, what are they doing as far as having the meals delivered? And he said they've invited all those that have done it in the past to come back and make any mileage. And there's volunteers also that, that they would invite, and do it. And I guess in that contract also, there is some more, some good things that I think like maybe once a month in their proposals, and I haven't read it completely, but I just from a conversation with Ken, that the Gateway has committed to sending in, professionals, I don't know what their title would be, but they would go in and evaluate, if the person is, alone or, if the, usually the person that delivers the meals is alert to watch if there's a problem.
It's part of it. They do it on purpose, but they go in there and show that
And the Gateway has some professionals there that they would send in for,
consulting with them, whether I'm an author or better myself.
Well, it's interesting because I called Gateway today.
Yeah.
Because I got a constituent in my town who used to drive for them, and then they got their little pink slip right after Christmas or just before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. Yeah, no, it was Prestige. So I called them and asked them, you know, would they be willing to hire the drivers, you know, that work for Prestige? And they said, oh, yeah. And they directed me online, this application online.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also said that they were going to hire two kitchen staff and the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know what the operation was before, but they have a kitchen, I believe, right on 32.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably already have well-equipped staff. They're going to hire more people. So hopefully they will take the drivers, you know, who were driving.
I was told that they weren't invited, you know, to come back.
Oh, because I thought
they're even putting on more
volunteers. He never got a call.
Just mileage. They're not paying. You know, they only get mileage. Because volunteers, they're going to hire somebody. You know, pay them.
Oh, to deliver the meals.
A couple $100 a week or something, or $100 a week to deliver meals. They're volunteers, basically, who are reimbursed for mileage.
Oh.
That's it.
Well, because when Prestige, they paid their
mileage. Well, that was private. Yeah. Yeah, you see what you got for it.
Well, I don't know. I know this gentleman, he's very nice, and he would, you know, he would
no,
spend time
the
with
meals, the meals.
Oh, okay.
I hope they're good. My neighbor actually is getting meals, and he says they're really good. He's got turkey and gravy and everything. He just started getting them. You know, can I ask you something? I read an article in a paper, I swear I was almost ready to call it. This company, whoever it is that does the meals, it's the name of the company for Gateway, like who they work with, they said you could buy weekly prepared meals for $49 and something. And I thought to myself, come on, I might sign up for that.
Yeah.
They don't have to cook, you don't have to shop.
Sounds cheap.
I'm going to check that out. I can't remember. I should have kept the article. I didn't keep it. So
I'm going to read that contract.
Okay. Yeah,
new business.
New business. Next month, Paul Henson is going to attend our meeting to discuss the Highland Hyper Cluster.
I couldn't make it tonight.
But next month, and that, yeah, I had saw that on, was it CBS? I guess that channel too.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing up, and they don't really know why it's happening, but some kids that come down with leukemia, and it's all special for that area, so.
Yeah, but the state did the thorough investigation.
Yeah,
I mean,
I just think it's more of a coincidence to have six children, and be diagnosed. You refer that to the state of what we did,
yeah.
And they do the investigation.
Yeah, I find it odd. Yeah, and then also Dr. Smith is going to come and discuss. I guess it's not Lyme disease, right? It's just a new type of tick-borne illness that's antibiotic resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called the Ehrlich problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's
your home. Yeah, I don't remember.
It was discovered in Connecticut first.
Yeah.
It could be fatal, too. And there's
really?
No known treatment for it right now.
Yeah.
Also in Lyme, Connecticut?
And it's just
happened? Somewhere in Connecticut it was first discovered. So it's just like it was with Lyme disease.
And the tick outbreak is very bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're not allowed to spray anymore. That and also it's very wet.
You can tick proof your yard, and one of the recommendations is they say take
cotton balls and soak them in insecticide and put them in used up toilet paper rolls, and you put them out in your yard, and they said that the mice will use them to build their nests, and it will help kill off the ticks that way and control the tick population. But they also say to xeriscape your yard, which I do, because I have allergies to lawnmower fumes, so they say mulch and gravel and stone as much as you can, because the ticks travel and thrive in woodsy type environments. So if you in grass too. So if you have grass or like a field type environment, a lot of trees and brush and twigs and leaves and stuff like that, then they run. So there's a lot of deer that come into my neighborhood that never used to. And they just they're intelligent. They know where
guinea hens work very well.
So did you want to talk about the guests we were gonna have come in or for new comes? Is that the corn for tonight?
Yeah,
I just had some concerns about like the county insurance policy for our employees and dependents, you know, how that came into being, and you know, the nuts and bolts of it, and I've asked some questions of people, and basically I didn't get answers that I thought were sufficient. And it's a process that we've never been updated on. You know, like this committee, you know, I've been on it for 17 months now. We've never had an update. Chairman Lopez can't recall one. You know, the previous composition of this committee included personnel. It used to be health and personnel. So now personnel is over in Ways and Means. They don't get updates on this kind of stuff. So
what,
you know,
what's your
like, for example, we have this relationship with Rose and Kiernan,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we pay them X amount of dollars, and they are like a built-in service. Right, okay, but so for example, this is very pertinent because there's an amendment coming up through Ways and Means where there's a $200,000 amendment additional funding needed, and that's basically because they do quarterly calculations in anticipation of how much benefits and claims are going to be paid out. And so apparently for the first quarter of 2015, we underestimated by $200,000. But I had a conversation with the sales representative for Rose and Kiernan, and she was able to tell me, you know, why it is that we came up with a self-contained policy and how much it's saving us. It's saving us 2.75% federal processing tax. So if you have a self-contained policy set up, you save that in, it's a processing tax on
all the claims. If I can just share a little bit, because I have to know a little bit about it. When we were in a majority, I was the chair of the Administrative Services Committee, and one of my charges was to form a committee to look at the possibility of county doing self-insurance. We were never able to do it before because we offered three or four different plans, and they would never, like MVP and all the other ones, they wouldn't give you any information about payouts or, you know, any numbers, so you couldn't figure out whether it was a good idea or a bad idea. The committee was had every union representative was on the committee. There were equal Republicans to Democrats. And everybody was well represented, let's put it that way. And I'll tell you, we did a lot of work. It was almost an 8-month project.
Mm-hmm.
And we had invited everybody in to come, all the insurance companies, you know. The union representation was incredible. And finally, we reached the point where we voted and said it did merit us to go for an RFP, and that's how we got Rose and Kiernan. And that's how we got down to the one carrier.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and then you can't. You know, it's all a guesstimate what you're going to spend on mm-hmm. self-insurance. You don't know what somebody's going to get from one year to another.
No, you don't.
An employee.
Right.
But they provide, you know, instead of us, like the school district, when they get it, they have their own they had their own body. So this ordinance, this Rosen-Tiernan provides a, with I think a committee from the county, I think, they go over every, they have a criteria. You know, if you put in a claim of what it covers and what it doesn't cover and how much. And so, but yeah, I think it's a good idea, you know, to get an update as to where we are, but that's been in existence now for some time. In the first year of implementation, this county saved $4.5 million. That's a lot of money.
But what is that figure based upon?
It was based on the cost of being insured, the carrier. We only have one carrier. And of course for, yeah, for so many, you know, 1,500 people.
Wasn't there a reduction in the workforce though?
A reduction in the workforce.
Well, I mean, the county government's been cut like about 32-38%. So I'm saying, so you have a reduction in the number
of
employees.
Yeah, but you cut one department, but we hired them on another department.
Yeah, well,
we never really fired anybody. We always found them different jobs.
Yeah.
Well, so.
I mean, that's up to the chair.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't have any problems. I'm telling you, it's saved, and it's still saving this county a lot of money.
Yeah, I just had some concerns because there were some questions that the sales representative from Rosen-Tiernan had no idea at all about the specifics of the policy. Like, she was able to explain to me, you know, how...
She's not.
Yeah, but my point is, though, if you're selling the policy, because Rosen-Tiernan basically only sells insurance policies for 2 companies.
2 minutes by about five.
Not about selling insurance. We went out to bid for a carrier who had experience in self-insurance.
Administrators.
And of all the bids that came in, they were...
Right. No, I understand. We did.
Rosen-Tiernan was not picked by the county executive office. Rosen-Tiernan was a choice of the committee.
Okay.
Of all the committees, all the legislators, the union, the representative. I mean, I was very proud of that. That's the most proudest thing I could pick from all the years I've been here, to be able to get that many people from different sections to agree on something that saved a lot of money. So I'm very proud of that.
Well, basically, the nuts and bolts of the plan are that we basically pay, so in Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield, I had a conversation about this like well over a year ago with Mike Hine, and basically, like you said, there was 3 companies, the way that he explained it to me, there's 3 companies, and Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield was the only one of those 3 companies at that time that was willing to divulge their proprietary trade secret of what their profit margin is and what percentage of premiums was paid out into benefits and claims. So now we have something called the 80-20 rule in the Affordable Care Act that kicked in 2015, that component of it. So all it's 80% of premiums have to be paid out to policyholders. Now it's in totality for an individual policy plan. It's not each individual covered customer of the insurance policy. So in other words, it's like with our plan, it would be the collective, you know, if there's 1,430 employees in Ulster County government.
Yeah. Can we cut to the chase? Because I'm trying to figure out what you're looking for. So what exactly are you looking to question?
Well, wait.
Because I can't follow what you want. So I'm trying to figure out what
you want. We just wanted, like...
You, what do you want?
Bob Sledlow, Doreen Whitney, and Kevin Roach to come in and just explain...
Teach us about self-insurance.
Correct.
Well, is there a reason why the committee needs to be educated on self-insurance?
We are the health care committee.
The whole, so the whole thing? So it's been something that's been in play for at least 5 years, I think.
Right.
So at least 5 years, because there's actually a local law.
More than that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Oh, there's your local law you refer to.
There's your local law. Well, I think what you want, I think what you should just have to...
Yeah, that's personnel. I know, the plan to come in, basically the answer I was told in a conversation with Mike Hine is that he believes Bob thinks it would take like a 5-hour explanation, that it would be too complex and it would go over everybody's head,
well,
and that they would need to bring in a whole bunch of people.
First
of all, I'm not asking for another RFP presentation for them to provide their services. They could simply explain to us what the principles are behind self-insurance and how it affects us.
Right. And so it's basically $60 per covered individual per month is what Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield receives from us, from county government, from county taxpayers. That's what Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield gets paid.
I think you have the committee, if that's what the chairman feels. Anyone that he thinks that's a good idea to request an update from the self-insurance provider. Make the request. And tell me, committee, I don't know. I mean, we certainly don't need a vote on it. I mean, I think that you're requested through the executive's office of the court, Ken Grinnell. Just email them and tell them it's like next month.
Bob Sudlow, legal software.
Ken Grinnell is the deputy executive of this committee. And any request we make should go through Ken. And it's up to him. Well, it's up to him to get
whoever
the necessary person to come in there and give us a report. Yes.
Well, there's a difference between a report and explanation. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, the report
explanation. There's a difference.
Yeah. Once they explain it, then we understand it. We can ask for a report then. Okay.
Well, you know, it might help to pull the send the resolution that was passed on self-insurance. It might help to dig that out and send a copy to all members so they see what we originally did.
Yeah, that's one.
No, but ever since that day, I tell you, this county has saved a lot of money. And they put there's a lot of great benefits if people want to, you know, make use of them, you know, as far as like wellness checkups and all that stuff, you know, that's up to the individual.
Most very large projects, most very large projects self-insure.
Yeah.
What's not really good, Tappan Zee Bridges self-insure.
Yeah, well, it's for years they talked about it. But you just couldn't figure out how to do it.
You need to have a large enough base to make it feasible.
And we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We
got
two units right in the county drive.
Right. Yeah.
You can get two. Oh, yeah.
Very good. Let's title it.
I'll make a motion for German.
I'll second.
All in
favor?
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Or, guess what? My grandson, Vincent, had an interview of some huge, can't remember the damn name, something Dino something. It's on the borderline of Connecticut and Rhode Island. And so he went for his interview, and he graduated.